ask the question, why me? And I ask it not as a victim to my day or to yesterday or to COVID or to an experience of being burned as a little boy or to whatever else I might have been facing right then, but from a place of profound gratitude for the gifts that I have, the opportunities before me, the chance at a new day.
Hey gang, how the heck are you? And I ask because we are finally on the brink of a new year, kicking 2020 out the door, right? We've been complaining about 2020 now for almost an entire year, and now it's almost over, right? Whew, we made it. We got a vaccine. We got a possible light at the end of this pandemic tunnel. I've got a million different reasons to be grateful that this year is finally over. So there's the question, right? How are you? Are you feeling it? Can you feel a little bit of change around the corner? I hope so. I'm feeling it. I feel good. I feel optimistic for the first time in a while that 2021 will be better than 2020, or at least better than, you know, the last three quarters of 2020 have been. Man, we got a long ways to go. There's no doubt about that. But I feel that there's a glimpse of that light, right? At the end of the tunnel, at least. I don't know. We'll see, right? I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But you know what? Let's get this thing rolling. Future Proof. This is Future Proof, your weekly podcast. I'm Bill, your ever faithful host. Let's start with this, shall we? This week's show is sponsored, as always, by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, courses, content, and community to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Hundreds of courses, dozens of instructors, unlimited customization. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you by visiting blionline.org. So I'm really excited about this week's show. My guest this week is John O'Leary. And man, if you haven't heard John's story, well, then settle in for a few seconds because I'm about to give it to you, okay? The Reader's Digest version, at least. John's a thought leader, a world-renowned speaker, a best-selling author. He's written a bestseller called On Fire. You might have heard of it. His new best-selling book is called In Awe. That's A-W-E. And man, his story is something else. Here's the short version. Because his story, it's not why we're talking to him this week, but it's something that you ought to know about going in, just some context, so to speak, if you're not familiar with John. So John O'Leary. John, when he was a kid, he burned himself really, really badly. Typical curious kid type of accident, but the short story is that he suffered burns on 100% of his body. And yes, you heard that right, 100%. So badly, in fact, that doctors gave him a 1% chance of survival. And yet he survived. Not without some issues, obviously. He spent months in the hospital. He had numerous surgeries. His fingers were amputated. All of this around his 10th birthday, if you can imagine. But he survived and he persevered. And that's, you know, that's his story. It's inspiration to the nth degree, really, when you think about it. And if you need proof, pick up a copy of his book, On Fire, and start reading. But anyway, that's not why I'm talking to John this week. The reason I'm talking to John this week actually has everything to do with the pandemic, believe it or not. Way, way, way back in the early days of COVID-19, let's say early April of 2020, right? We got an email newsletter from John, and it was titled, Dad is Everything Bad. And this was still early on in the pandemic, and our heads were spinning, right? We, like everyone else, we were still trying to come to grips with this thing, and we were drowning in really alarming news pretty much everywhere we turned, you know, newspapers, television, social media, you couldn't escape it. And then John's email showed up, and my boss, Jackie Brown, she saw it first and forwarded it to the rest of our team at the Maryland Association of CPAs and the Business Learning Institute. And it was like a weight was lifted off our shoulders somehow. And it opened up that email. It opened up with this quote, great quote from Dr. Henry Cloud. And it goes like this, whatever you water grows, whatever you pay attention to and focus on gets bigger, right? Attend to what you want, not what you fear or despise, right? And if we focus on the negative, you know, the fear, the anxiety, we're going to be negative and fearful and anxious. It just stands to reason, right? But if we can somehow get past all the bad stuff we're seeing, you know, in the newspapers and on TV and in our social channels, and find what's good amid all this negativity, we can maybe start to turn that mindset around a little bit. Here's how John put it in that email. He wrote, quote, "There are few stories celebrating the global rise of recovered cases, the expanding capabilities around testing and treating, the dramatic increases in the production of masks and respirators, or the generosity of sovereign countries and less devastated states deploying their resources to hotbed areas. They overlook the countless stories of first responders, healthcare professionals, custodians, grocery store workers, truck drivers, and ordinary heroes showing up daily to keep our nation advancing forward. There's rarely a mention of the prodigious effort undertaken by our amazing teachers to radically reorganize lesson plans to guide their students and their overwhelmed parents through the crisis," end quote. So that's what John and I are talking about this week. I was just inspired by those words way back when, and it took a while for us to connect, but we're having this conversation now, and I just thought it might be a great way to close out a really challenging year, right? Little discussion about how we can water the good stuff so that it grows, right? And how we can pay attention to it and focus on it so that it'll get bigger. Great stuff here this week from one of the most inspirational people you're ever going to hear. Here is my conversation with John O'Leary.
Because you feel like you're saying something you should not be saying in some regard. So 2020, without a doubt, has been a wildly difficult year for almost everyone, and seemingly almost impossibly difficult for many. Individually, professionally, it's been a very difficult year for us organizationally. So we could spend a lot of time talking about that. But when you ask that question of me, the very first thing I think of is my wife is awesome. She's healthy. The four kids are safe. We're enjoying this odd, peculiar time at home. Professionally, I used to travel a couple nights a week, minimally.
Yeah.
So strangely enough, I've had 294 or so consecutive nights of tucking my little kids in. And so when you ask the question, John, how's this year been? Man, it's hard. I lost my grandmother during COVID-19. We weren't able to bury her. It's been hard to see family. There's a lot of things going on structurally, societally, financially.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, I'm blessed and aware of that.
Well, that's a great way of looking at it. First of all, I'm sorry for your loss. I know a lot of folks have been dealing with that this year, but it has been a challenging year. And you know, the reason why I wanted to reach out to you initially was, so this goes back to, I think, the early days of COVID, when, you know, everyone was still kind of reeling from everything that was happening and all trying to get used to this new normal of having to be at home, right, and locking down. And email popped up into my boss's inbox from you. It was one of your weekly e-newsletters, and the headline on it was titled "Dad Is Everything Bad," which immediately got me got my attention, right? And it was all about choosing what we pay attention to and how that impacts our mindset and our outlook on life. And the article had this huge impact on our team. We were sharing it all over the place. And our boss has said, you know, this is really where we need to go right now. I was hoping that you could kind of walk me and our listeners through that message. What were you trying to convey
right,
in that article?
So it's a bit layered. The question comes from my 9-year-old son. So it comes from this place of a little boy seated next to his dad on a couch, watching the evening news with him, which is a profound mistake. Do not watch the evening news with your kids if you want them to sleep, parents. So I'm watching this, and they go from, you know, puppy mills to fires to shootings to the spread of COVID to the collapse of capitalism and the weather up next. There's a storm on the horizon, and we don't think we'll play baseball this year. And it was just bad after bad after bad. And I'm so used to it that I wasn't even aware of it. And this sweet little guy who very seldom watches the news with his dad was shocked and appalled and very nervous by the way the world seemed to be trending. So we turn off the news that evening and have not really turned it on since, and had a really good conversation around, yeah, it's not perfect. There's a lot of challenges that we face societally, individually, financially, but it's far better than they claim in the evening news. Far better. All metrics, man, are getting better just about year over year over year, but you will never hear that reported on the evening news. And it reminds me, Bill, to a degree of a lunch that I had with my grandfather the first day the markets opened up after September 11th, mm-hmm. maybe 6 or 7 days after 9/11, we're at lunch. His favorite place was a little Italian place in St. Louis, Missouri. So we're eating there together. And near the end of lunch, he shared, "Hey, John, I shifted away from many of the stocks that we held, your grandmother and I, and we bought," and he mentioned Boeing, American Airlines, and Southwest.
Ooh.
And this is, you know, I hate to be a historian here, but right after 9/11, anybody with any market sense whatsoever knew that first, the market was going to fall when it did open up. And mm-hmm. secondly, the area that would be hardest hit would be airline, without a doubt. Everyone knew this, including my grandfather. So in my wisdom of 23 years of age or so, I'm like, "Grandpa, why would you do that, man? Like, it's going to fall. You're going to lose your tail, man." And this wise man paused and he said, "John, do you know why they call our generation the greatest generation?" And I said, "No." He said, "Well, it's not because we survived the Great Depression. I think most of us try to survive bad times." And he said, "It's also not because we all went off to fight overseas when there was epic evil in front of us. I think most of us face evil face to face. And it's not because when we returned home, we built the greatest society in the history of the world. The reason I think they refer to us as the greatest generation, John, is that we've never forgotten the lessons we learned along the way. We never forget the lessons we learned along the way." And then with that, he takes a little sip of iced tea, pays the bill, and we walk out of there. Yeah, I have a feeling he lost some finances in the short term on those three investments he made, but my grandfather wasn't playing the short game. Mm-hmm. And I think so frequently in life, we play this ultra obnoxiously short game. 24-hour news cycle, baby. That's all it is. And if that is indeed all it is, no wonder why it's all bad. My son's question's accurate. It is all bad, Henry. It's terrible out there if that's all you want to focus on. But our job as leaders is to not only see what's wrong, but also the horizon beyond the horizon to see what remains possible.
Yeah. Yeah. That news cycle is, I used to work in journalism. I used to be a journalist, but back in the day, like this was 2 decades ago, but editor of mine would always say, you know, if it bleeds, it leads, right? He actually said this to me one day. I went to him there was a car accident somewhere. And it's like, "Is this something you want to cover?" And he's like, "Did anybody die?" Yeah. And I said, "No." And he said, "Then I don't care." I mean, that, you know, yeah. And that was not an unusual mindset to have at that time. So I think that you quoted some stats in that article about, there's a study done about the percentage of stories on the evening news or newspapers or whatever that were negative as opposed to positive. What was the number there? It was something outrageous.
Well, you know, I wrote that, I think, back in April, but the stat is 94%. And that stat comes from Harvard Business Review, both an average of 2018 and 2019. So for your listeners who are thinking, "Well, John, of course it's kind of bad. It's been a cruddy year, man. Take a look around. COVID. Yeah, right. It's COVID outside, baby. It's all bad." Yeah, true, maybe, but that stat was given to us from our friends at Harvard from 2018, 2019, when unemployment was historically low and longevity was historically long. And I mean, life was good. And even when life, in quotes, was good, everything was bad. Everything was bad. And there's an old expression, "There's nothing new under the sun." And that expression's 2,700 years of age. It's not new. So if it bleeds, its lead is, it's not new to 2020 or 19 or 18 or 20 years ago when you were in the industry. Right. It's always been around. But where's your focus? Like community-wide. And where's your focus as a parent or as a son, as a daughter, as a leader organizationally? Because what you focus on will grow. And as the media 94% of the time tells us how bad things are, and as it is reflected in our social media stream, it should be no surprise that anxiety is elevating, that depression is elevating, that last year in the United States, 1.6 million Americans attempted suicide. This is 2019. This is before the pandemic. So this was a crisis level before the pandemic even began to spread around the United States. Yeah. So I think it's really important that we choose what we pay attention to.
It's kind of interesting. I posted a question on Facebook recently. I asked my friends, you know, give me one word that describes you as 2020's coming to a close, right? And the responses kind of fell into two camps. There were those, they said things like depleted or angry, depressed, confused, right? And then the other camp were folks who were saying things like focused,
right,
and ready and lucky and hopeful and blessed. Blessed was actually the most popular response. What's the difference between those two camps? Like, where does that line get drawn?
You know, I wrote a post on social media today, and the first comment below it was a very optimistic post about where we are. And the first comment that popped up below my post was realism and idealism. John, pay attention. Both of these things are realities, meaning, hey, it's good to be idealistic, but you also have to be realistic. Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure those things are necessarily mutually exclusive. Right. I've always found you're interviewing me right now in my office organizationally, and behind me are pictures of my family members, like my grandparents, both sides, my parents, my five siblings, and my little ones. Mm-hmm. In front of this camera are the individuals that I've had the opportunity of interviewing on our podcast. So okay. We've got something called the Live Inspired podcast, where I bring on remarkable people who changed the world through their lives in big and in small ways. And then to your right, these are the individuals throughout history, like MLK and Mother Teresa and Abraham Lincoln, and a whole wall full of people, historically speaking, are game changers, just radical, man, who I think did a phenomenal job of merging realism. I mean, in the middle of the Civil War, when Abraham Lincoln had no one to turn to, he's pretty realistic. And this is the beautiful part of and he's wildly idealistic. This idea of a union, this idea of the better angels of ourselves, like pulling people together toward what remains possible. So yeah, I'm realistic. I'm pragmatic. I think you got to be honest about life. And why not be idealistic? Why not be like a child again, dreaming about how good life is and about how good it can become going forward? So you said, John, what's the difference between those two lists? I think it is generally as simple as perspective. Now you could say, well, gosh, I bet some of the people lost a parent or a family member or a job. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would imagine some of the folks who wrote down the word gratitude or focus also lost a job or a parent or a family member. A whole lot of life comes down to our perspective on the challenges and opportunities in front of us. One of the great, I think, thought leaders of our time and of any time is a guy named Viktor Frankl. A lot of works. He wrote a theory on logotherapy, change psychology. And one of his great quotes from a book called Man's Pursuit, what is it? Oh, goodness.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it's a great book.
Hold on. Viktor Frankl wrote Man's Pursuit of Happiness, not Pursuit of Happiness.
It is, oh gosh, what was it?
One of your listeners are all yelling at the radio right now.
And we can edit this out. It was, because I've read it too. It was, I'm on his Wikipedia page right now.
It's like, you'll find it right away.
Man's Search for Meaning.
Man's Search for Meaning. Thank you, Bill. Man's Search for Meaning. And he said, in that book where he's being tortured, where he's losing family members, where he's seeing the worst of humanity in front of him, he says something to the effect of all things can be taken from a person except for the final great human freedom, the ability to choose your own path going forward, your own way. That ability, that gift of choice, the gift of choice, I think is the difference between that first set of answers that you receive back, where they're honest about it. I mean, it's been a lousy year on so many levels, And the second list that you received in front of you, words like gratitude, focus, perspective, hope, these other words that were popping up in other people's answers. The experiences, I bet, were in somewhat pretty similar situations, but the perspective with which they viewed them are radically different.
Is there something that we can do or some way that we can kind of train ourselves to reframe our mindsets, you know, in challenging right. times like this? I mean, so many people like their first, and I think it's kind of human nature, right? The first place we go is kind of to the negative. Can we flip that?
Well, I think in your question, you answered it. John, human nature is the very first place we go is to the negative. How do we flip that? So you're exactly right. I think our old lizard mind says, hey, if you see a sharp-toothed animal coming towards you, run, baby, run. You don't have to be faster than the lion. You just have to be faster than everybody else in the tribe. Run, 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 run. So we save ourselves and we do so out of fear. So how do we flip that? What I would encourage your listeners to do every morning is something that I've been doing for the last 7 years now, and it has allowed me to flip it highly effectively. And what I do, Bill, is every morning of my life, I get up about an hour before I actually need to. Otherwise, I've had always found that I was chasing the day and never really able to catch up. So I get up a little before I need to. I make a big, tall cup of coffee, go outside. These days, it's dark outside when I'm there, but I have a journal with me. I reflect, I pray, I wait for the sun to rise. And while it begins to make its way across the horizon, I ask the question, why me? And I ask it not as a victim to my day or to yesterday or to COVID or to an experience of being burned as a little boy or to whatever else I might have been facing right then, but from a place of profound gratitude for the gifts that I have, the opportunities before me, the chance at a new day. I think it's a miracle. I think we yawn or curse our way through life and we don't even recognize, my God, like, what is the chance of you being here?
Yeah.
How did your heart beat last night while you slept and dreamed and imagined without you doing a doggone thing about it? How did you get up on the right side of the ground again? It's shocking. And we're bored by it. Well, I'm not. Every morning of my life, as I watch the sun rise, I think it's a great gift as it cuts through the darkness. I ask the question, why me? I give thanks for what I have, and then I get into the day. The second question is, who cares? It's a question around mission and meaning and living out the fullness of your life each day. And the answer to it ought to be, today I choose to thrive because. Mm-hmm. And if you ask that again and again, ultimately you design your mission statement for life. Mine, in short, is I choose to thrive every day of my life because God demands it. My family deserves it. The world is starved for it. Let's roll. No excuses. Mm-hmm. And every morning, man, I'm ready to attack it. And not in a passive way, but in an optimistic, ferociously so hopeful way. I choose to thrive because God demands it. My family deserves it. The world is starved for it. Let's roll. That's language from 9/11. No excuses. And I'm the king of making excuses, so I need the reminder myself. And the final question before I stop kind of reflecting on the day and start actually living into it is, what more can I do? What more can I do to make this day even better than the one before? And this is the question around earning compound interest. I actually ask it the night before while I'm brushing my teeth. But then that following morning, I see what I wrote down. And then whatever it is, you know, wash your hands and go. Take action. Sometimes it's about being a better husband or a better father, or better son, sometimes a better business leader, sometimes just about better servant in the community or walking closer with God. But every day, man, I want to just be a little bit better today than I was the day before.
What are you most looking forward to in 2021, John?
So people keep saying back to normal. Dude, that's not at all what I want to look forward to. I used to travel extensively and I used to be gone a lot and more than just physically. Like I used to not be as present as I think I should have been as a leader over my own household and my own affairs. What I'm most looking forward to is blending where we end up together societally. I think COVID-19 will be eradicated. I think we're going to have a very different Q3 and Q4 than we did in 2020. It's going to be back to the good old days, man. I think employment's going to surge up. I think we're going to eat out a lot more, travel more freely, all this stuff. It's going to be great. But what I'm most looking forward to, like my grandfather's generation, is not forgetting the lessons that this experience has taught us. The ability to slow down, to not miss the blessings in front of us, to make sure that we do important work, but not at the expense of losing the things that matter most.
That's great. What one word describes you as this challenging year is coming to a close? What would that be? You know,
so there's a lot of books written on happy. And even on our podcast, we've had a lot of happy experts that have joined us on our podcast. And I have always found happiness to be fleeting. Happiness is a new iPhone 16, and it's really awesome until the new iPhone 17 comes out. And it's got better battery life and a 17-inch screen, and you're like, oh man, I should have waited for the 17. Happiness is an ice cream cone until it melts. Happiness is coffee until you drink it. Like, happiness is very fleeting. I'm a man who's far more focused on joy, which I think is far more enduring than happiness. And so the word that I hope best describes me is joyful. I hope in my voice you hear it, listeners. Bill's looking at me right now through the gift of technology. I hope in my face you see it. I've been through some extraordinarily difficult times in my life, but I've also learned that just because it's a bad season, a difficult season, cold outside, raining, whatever it might be, you're struggling financially, it doesn't necessarily mean you can't have an awful lot of joy and hope and almost like an optimistic contagion in your heart in the way you show up.
John and Larry, thanks for your time. This has been a great conversation. It's a pleasure to finally meet you, and have a great 2021.
I'm planning on it. I hope, Bill, you and your listeners have a great 2021 as well.
So much great stuff there. That was speaker, author, podcaster, John O'Leary, fellow St. Louisan, I should also mention. Learn more about him at johnolearyinspires.com. And John's got a new book out. I think I mentioned it. It's called In Awe, Rediscover Your Childlike Wonder to Unleash Inspiration, Meaning, and Joy. You can get all the details and order it at readinawe.com. That's readinawe.com. And don't forget, this week's sponsor is the Business Learning Institute. The BLI's Future Ready Learning Framework outlines the skills that CPAs need to thrive in the rapidly changing world of accounting and finance. That framework is all about gaining and maintaining deep technical knowledge along with a strategic skill set. And we are talking about strategic aptitudes that have been identified as most crucial for tomorrow's CPAs. Start mastering these future-ready skills now by visiting macpa.org/future-learning-framework. And that's a wrap on 2020, folks. Have a great week. Have a happy, happy new year. Let's make 2021 the best one yet, right? Or at least at least better than 2020. And it won't take much. I'm telling you that right now. Party responsibly. Talk to you soon. Take care.